Without followers, evil cannot spread.
You're an atheist. Tell me, how would you judge if he really was a Christian or just posing for one? Hey, I'm telling you, I'm a cow. Moo. Moo. I must be a cow, right? So am I a cow?
Nope. We have enough records to understand how apes have evolved into humans.
How do you know that? Who told you that?
Who told me that? Specifically, like, you think one...
Your teachers in school? What you're telling me is that there's a universal something that you don't know about that caused the Big Bang, and you don't know what it was, and nobody does, and yet you believe it. Man, you believe it on faith. Oh, by the way, moo. So am I a cow?
No, I don't think so, but...
Well, wait a minute. Why not? I'm mooing.
If anyone were to try to say within the classroom setting that the theory of evolution is somehow in question among the scientific community, that person would be subject to lose their job.
Exactly. So they're not free to be open and honest, are they? Oh, by the way, moo.
Logical. Flawlessly logical.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? It's Faith and Reason time, and I am your host, Matt Slick. I hope you're going to have a good weekend, and maybe I can help you enjoy it with a good dose of hate mail. I got some hate mail. I feel like reading hate mail. Now, what is hate mail? It's mail that's hateful. That's why we call it hate mail. Folks, I am a Christian apologist, and I offend everybody, Christians and non-Christians alike. Why? The Bible. I just stick with what the Word of God says and make a lot of Christians upset because, hey, they don't want to hear a lot of what the Word of God has to say. And the unbelievers, oh, they're even worse. So, hey, if you got your toes and you don't want them stepped on, turn the channel, go do something else. But if you want to maybe get them stepped on, get a little entertained in the meantime, hopefully, well, then continue to listen. What we're going to do tonight is do hate mail. And before we get started, for the podcasters, this is August 5th, 2011. Okay, August 5th, 2011. Tonight, incidentally, I will be teaching a Bible study in Romans, continuing, in Romans chapter 13. We'll be teaching that tonight in Nampa. It's just open for anybody who wants to come. No kids, please. And we start at 7:30. And all you got to do is take the freeway out there. Get off on exit 36. 6 times 6 is 36. Go north 3/4 of a mile. And on the left-hand side is the Crossing Church. And that's where we'll be tonight, 7:30. We're going through the book of Romans. We've been going through it for almost a year now. I think it is a year this month. So there you go. There you go. It'll be fun. We're going through Romans 13, like I said. And we have a little doctrine time before we get started each time. We ask questions, see what people know, make sure they're okay, and we get going. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. If you want to, you can be there. If not, that's all right. All right, now, I'm going to give the phone number and then jump into hate mail. Hey, folks, if you want to call 877-207-2276, same as usual, please feel free to give me a call. Love to hear from you. And also, if you want to get in via Skype, all you got to do is type in Faith and Reason. Faith and Reason Radio. And with no spaces, you can get right in there and we can blab about what you want to talk about. All right. Maybe you can stump me, which is not that difficult. I don't know everything. But hey, you know, I like to put things together and see what we can do. Now, here goes a hate mail. Okay, good. Look, here we go. People actually tell me they want to hear the hate mail. They want to hear it. So here it comes. Right here. I'm looking at it. All right, Mr. Slick. Now, that is my name, my real name, not a radio name, but my real name. He says this, please realize you don't have authority to teach Christian doctrine, and you keep asking people, what would you like me to teach you? Calvinism, Mormonism, and JW are well-known major apostasy religious sects presenting themselves as biblical Christianity in the world today. He's not really saying a whole bunch. He's just, you know, lumping Calvinism and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses in the same group, which just shows that the guy does not know what he's talking about. See, what this guy needs is the Ronco Face Slapper. See, you know, hey, for $29.95, you too can get the Ronco Face Slapper. Just send off the money, and it has a suction cup on it. You put it on a table, spring-loaded, take the hand, put it back down to the table, put your face in line of the slapping, let go, and you can slap yourself upside the head. Yes, for only $29.95. Why? Because you deserve it. Now, see, that's the thing that people like this should, you know, they're, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he just doesn't know what he's talking about. We get all, I'm going to tell you, we get Christians all over the place who don't know squat. Now, I was recently talking to a pastor. I asked him, who sinned first, Adam or Eve? It took him a bit, and he got it. And he said, well, Eve sinned. I said, how did sin enter the world? Through Adam or Eve? And he said, well, through Eve. I said, no, through Adam. Okay. I said, is Jesus a man right now? He said, no. I said, well, yes, he is. And I showed him scriptures. And he said, well, these things are debatable. No, it's not. Now, does that sound arrogant when I say, no, it's not? Just because something's debatable doesn't mean that someone has a legitimate position. Just having somebody debate it doesn't mean that they're right. I mean, you could have something like 1 plus 1 equals 2. Well, that's debatable. Well, who's going to debate it? I don't know, the Ronco thinking czar. Who knows? Doesn't mean that they're right. Look, when the Bible says something, it says it. It's like this, a women pastor's issue. You know, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain silent. For Adam was first created. Now, the word silent doesn't mean absolute silence there in the Greek. It's hesychia. It means, you know, keeping it down. In regard to the issue of teaching authority and stuff, they're not, that's not their place. Why? Because Adam was created first. It has nothing to do with culture. I mean, it's clear. It's what it says. What people will do is wrest the scriptures and get it to say the opposite of what it says. It's clear. People say, well, it's debated. Yeah, it's debated because people don't believe what it says. That's why it's debated. It's what it says. What do you do with it? Well, I don't believe it. You Christian? Yeah. You believe it? No. You believe the word of God? Yeah. You believe what it says? No. It's what it's like. It's pick and choose theology, usually based around social norms, people's ignorance, their desire to get along, to do all kinds of stuff that just doesn't make any sense because they're not submitting themselves to the Word of God. You know what would be great? What would happen? What would happen if Christian women started expecting their Christian men to act like Christian men and to teach like Christian men? I mean, seriously. What if Christian women said, nope, I want you to teach biblically. Study the word. Go to the pastors. Nope. That's not what it says right here. Expect their husbands to start teaching. Expect their husbands in the home to open up the word and teach them. Expect it. What would happen? Men would start doing it. What would happen if men started actually teaching in the homes? Teaching. What would happen if they actually started really sticking to the word of God? Even to the point where they say, nope. If it doesn't agree with the scriptures, I'm not going for it. I mean, that would be like revolutionary in the Christian church. You'd think that'd already be the case. It isn't. Too many Christian men and women that I know, they compromise in the Word of God in so many areas. It's ridiculous. They've got to stick with the Word of God. So you don't say stupid things like Calvinism, Mormonism, and J-dubs are all well-known major apostasy religious sects. Really? Yeah, brother. Mormonism teaches God came from another planet. Jehovah's Witnesses teach there is no Trinity. Jesus died only for the 144,000. And they teach that you have to be good Jehovah's Witnesses in order to go to paradise earth. Calvinism says God is the Trinity, justification by grace through faith alone. God predestines and elects, which is what the Bible says. And this guy, who deserves a loving slap upside the head, says, you know, he lumps them in together. This is ridiculous. Yeah, well. Anyway, look at this. Not working at Hewlett-Packard, I used to work at Hewlett-Packard, and choosing this activity to generate income is so wrong. So what he's saying is, I should not get any support from what I'm doing in this ministry. So, let me, I wonder what this guy would say. You know, should a pastor be paid from the work he does? You know, as it says in 1 Corinthians 9, don't muzzle the ox, you know, as he's threshing, cutting the wheat down. Can he not eat the grain? Of course. Does Paul not say he has the right to take support from his labor? Of course. I work 50-hour weeks minimum on CARM. Do I have the right to be able to produce and get paid and be supported out of it? I do. If people want to support this ministry, they do by their gracious gifts. If they don't, they don't. So this guy's just another slap upside the head candidate. And he goes on, he says, I'm praying for you to get to the roots of Christianity. I wonder what those roots are. Anyway, and get your ego off the way. It should be out of the way, incidentally, not off the way. But anyway, he says, remember, pride is a deadly sin. Really? It's a deadly sin? I wonder what else is a deadly sin. It's a deadly sin. At any rate, that's a good hate mail. That's a pretty good one. I got some more. We'll get to that after the caller here. Let's see. Is I going to put that right there? Okay. If you want to call, folks, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Craig from the UK. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Not bad.
What do you got?
I wanted to talk to you about Mormonism.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Because I've been studying it a lot myself.
Good. What do you want to know about Mormonism?
What do you think the main problems with the Book of Mormon?
The main problems with the Book of Mormon? Well, first of all, it's not true. Second, it's probably plagiarized from Solomon Spaulding. Three, it teaches works, righteousness, salvation. Four, it teaches impossibilities. For example, there's different ways of looking at it, but one is, you know, well, I'll go to the physical things. It teaches impossibilities. If you're humble, sufficiently humble, and deny yourself of all ungodliness, then is God's grace sufficient for you? Moroni 10:32, for example. It's got impossibilities. It doesn't even have Mormonism in it. The Mormon doctrines, that which makes it Mormon, which makes Mormonism Mormonism, is not in the Book of Mormon. It's just not there. Mm. The Book of Mormon is more Christian than Mormon.
Yeah, because it's interesting, because I've read a lot of your content on the CARM website, and it does sound quite Christian, doesn't it? Because a lot of the doctrine in there does seem Christian, but then when you compare what is taught in it, like, for example, the Trinity, when you look at another one of their statements in another book that contradicts what it teaches, doesn't it?
Right.
They say the Trinity is one God in the Book of Mormon, but then it's stated that it's three gods in another book.
Right. It says in Articles of Faith, for example, page 35, it says the Trinity is three gods, but the Trinity is one God in the Book of Mormon, Alma 1144, for example. The Book of Mormon says God is unchanging. Moroni 9:9 says that. But yet it says that that God used to be a man on another world in Mormonism, and he became a god. His nature changed, so he is changing. You know, so Mormonism contradicts itself, and the Book of Mormon is not not very Mormon at all, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, where do you stand on the whole racism issue as well? Because
In Mormonism, you mean?
Yeah, because in Mormonism, like, blacks are not allowed to be priests.
They changed that in 1971. They changed the issue that blacks could be hold the priesthood. But Brigham Young taught that they could never hold it, and he said what he was saying was scripture. And he said it's impossible. And so they're going against one of their prophets who taught in the name of God in an official context. And the reason they changed is because of civil rights movements and political pressure. Mormonism often adapts to political pressure, which demonstrates it's not of God. It changes in light of political pressure, where Christianity changes the politics and changes the people.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the problems with the Book of Mormon. Because have you read, I think it's 2 Nephi 5:21?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that says that the blacks are cursed and that they're not very attractive to them. Because it says, like, whites are meant to be, like, handsome and delightsome.
Yeah, white and delightsome. And that when they become believers in the truth, then they'll become white and delightsome. And what the Mormonism did was change that meaning, and they changed the text, and really what they're saying now, it just means they're going to become pure of heart and things like that. But that's not how it was always used. So they adapt. They just change what things mean. The Mormon Church does this. Yeah, that's what gets me is, you know, I was taught to think growing up. I was taught to not disbelieve people. I was taught to be critical about things, you know, just to examine. And I really was. I don't think I could ever be a Mormon, even if I was born into Mormonism, because, you know, I'm a critical thinker, and I'm not perfect at it, but it's like, well, let me look into the facts. I've looked into the facts of Christianity, and I would give it up if I could find things that absolutely contradicted its truth, because I don't want to believe a lie. I'm not going to trust my feelings and put my eternal soul on the line for what's called a testimony. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous to do that, and yet millions do it. It's ridiculous.
They always say to me, like, I've spoken to them many times, I've said, you know, why don't you just go away and pray to God that the Book of Mormon's true, but, you know, why should I rely on, it's like you're relying on your emotions and feelings.
Well, they'll say it's from the Holy Spirit, but here's the thing, when facts don't support your religion, then you abandon the facts and you go to feelings. That's all it's doing. And besides, if the God of Mormonism is false, that means it's ultimately demonic. And if you're praying to the God of Mormonism, you're actually praying to demonic forces, and they're going to answer you. And how would you know if this feeling of goodness that you have is good or bad? And people will say, well, it can't be from the devil if it feels this good. And that is ludicrous. That is absolutely horrible thinking. But that's what people do, and they put their eternal destinies in the hands of a feeling. You know, Word of God says, don't do that. The heart's desperately wicked and deceitful. No man can trust it.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, man, if we need wisdom, all we have to do is go to the Bible, don't we? No.
That's what we got to do. The Bible's it. And, you know, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But James is already writing to those who are already believers. And if you lack wisdom, wisdom is a proper use of knowledge. We are told not to exceed what's written, and is talking about the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. And, you know, Mormonism absolutely contradicts it when it says God used to be a man on another planet. He's got a goddess wife. They have bodies of flesh and bones. They have physical relations, sexual relations, and produce offspring that inhabit human bodies. And you become gods and goddesses of your own planet and start the whole thing over again. This is ludicrous. Yeah. It's not biblical. But people will believe it because they don't believe the Word of God. What they believe is a feeling, and the feeling is ultimately demonic.
Yeah, they basically worship aliens, don't they, really?
That's what I've been saying, because an alien is a life form from another planet, and so we have Elohim, the name of this alien on another world, who brought one of his wives to this world, and his mate, and they're called God and Goddess here by the Mormons, and they're worshipped. I mean, Mormonism is worshipping aliens.
Yeah. How do you think, like the Gospel of Mormonism is different to the Gospel of Christianity and the Jesus?
Well,
because they believe in a different Jesus.
They believe in a different Jesus, absolutely, and the prophets have said so.
Yeah.
There's absolutely, you know, they're different. The Jesus of Mormonism is begotten through relations between God and his goddess wife. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is eternal, but not so in Mormonism. The Jesus of the Bible is not the brother of the devil begotten in the pre-existence. That is the Jesus of Mormonism. So they're not the same. They can't be the same. And the gospel is different too, because in Mormonism, basically the gospel is the laws and the ordinances of the Mormon church. And that's not what the gospel is here. In Christianity, it's justification by faith alone in Christ alone without any works. We're not doing good works to get saved or maintain our salvation as Mormonism teaches and as the Nazarenes teach, the Assemblies of God are teaching, and other groups are teaching in Christianity. They teach the same thing that the cults teach. You've got to keep your salvation by being good, and you attain it by being good in faith. And this is, you know, it's a profound heresy that's becoming more and more prevalent in the Christian church.
Yeah, I think, because I think the other thing that they teach about Jesus is, don't they believe that he had wives?
Yeah, he was married. And they teach that in John chapter 2, the wedding of Cana was really his own wedding. That's what they teach.
Well, it's just a perversion in the text, really.
You got that right. It is. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, man.
Yeah. Mormonism is a really fascinating subject for me because I study it so much.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a fascinating. It's a good religion for Christians to study, to learn how to witness and learn what their real faith is. Then go to Jehovah's Witnesses. Once you've learned how to refute them, you basically have taught yourself about 70% of what you need to know to be a competent Christian in knowledge of what the Word really says in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
All right, big man?
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for your advice anyway, man.
Sure. Well, God bless, buddy.
See you then.
Okay, we'll see
Bye.
You. Okay. Hey, folks, we got Wide Open Calls. If you want to call, all you got to do is type in Faith and Reason. Faith and Reason, and we can get you right in here. You can also get in via Skype. Just type in Faith and Reason. Did I say that number? I didn't say that number. Anyway, Skype is Faith. Type in just Faith and Reason with no spaces, and you'll be able to get in via Skype. And also, if you want to dial, you know, on your phone pad there, all you got to do is type in toll-free number 877, real easy, and 877. 207-2276. All right. Let's see. How many of you in the chat, people in the chat room, listen? Anybody in the chat room want to hear some more hate mail? If you do, let me know. I'll get to one. Here goes. My name is John, and recently I was on your website and wanted to ask you why it is that when you talk about salvation, you do not present it as the apostles did in Acts 2:38. In Acts 2:38, it says, repent and believe, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because that's not what the gospel is. That's why I don't preach it like that, because that's not what the gospel is. If Acts 2:38 is the gospel, how come faith is not mentioned in Acts 2:38? Real simple. He goes on, it is important to preach the true gospel of the kingdom and to warn people to repent and believe the gospel, followed by baptism in the name of our Lord Jesus, Mark 16:16. So you see, it's probably a oneness Pentecostal person. They deny the Trinity. Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the name of the Lord Jesus is a phrase used to speak of authority. Just go to Acts chapter 4, verse 7. It talks about that. He says, this is what the scriptures teach. Preach the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, not the doctrine of men. That's what you're doing, buddy. He goes on, he says, please do not take this as a means to slander you, but to point you to the scriptures. Compare scripture with scripture. That's what I do all the time. That wasn't a very good hate mail. I like the hate mail that is like full of vitriolic stuff, accusations and vitriol. That's what I want. I like that kind of hate mail. Let's get to Lee from Nampa. Hey, Lee, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, doing well. How are you?
Good. And you're a Mormon, huh?
I am.
Okay. So what do you want?
I enjoy listening to your show on the way home.
Good.
Regularly tune in.
Good. All right. So what do you want to say?
I just think a lot of things that are portrayed about Mormons and Mormonism on a lot of Christian talk shows are not accurate. And
okay.
I think they're completely one-sided, of course. I think it'd be good if you had somebody on your show occasionally that could maybe give some light or at least explain some of the things that are inaccurately shared.
Are you qualified?
Sure.
You're qualified to do it?
I'd be happy to.
You want to come in the radio station Monday?
What's that?
You want to come in the radio station here Monday and we can go at Mormonism and you can defend it and I'll tackle it?
Well, okay, there's a couple things. We believe, and I believe, contention is of the devil.
Really?
And it invites an evil spirit. If you're open to an open dialogue and conversation regarding it, then I'd be happy to. But if you're going to go at Mormonism, and I'm going to sit there and defend it, you know, I've listened to some of the other people that you've had on that are not of your own understanding or belief. And oftentimes, I don't feel like the person gets a fair share. At times, they're cut off and things like that. So if those things are on the table and part of this, then yeah, I think I'd be open to doing that.
Well, do you believe the Bible?
Of course.
Okay. So what do you do with Jude 3? Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation.
Say that again.
Jude 3. While I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to write to you, appealing to you that you contend earnestly for the faith. So is Jude advocating ungodliness?
Are you there? I don't even quite understand what you're asking.
You said contention is of the devil, and Jude tells us to contend for the faith.
Well, it also says to agree with that adversary quickly in the Bible. Are those contradictory?
I'm asking you what it says in Jude 3. I'm asking you.
I realize what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, it's really, and this is, I think this is the stigma that Christians or people of religion get too often, is that they funnel one specific reasoning into a discussion instead of looking at all the scenarios.
Well,
there's a scripture in the Bible that also says that to agree with thine adversary quickly, lest, you know the verse. And so if one saying's contend and the other one's saying to agree with your adversary quickly, are they contradictory?
Well, when it says
of course not. Each of them have their
own. Hold on, let me explain. When it's talking in Proverbs about making peace with your enemies is so that, you know, there's harmony and things like that. But Jude is not talking about that. He's saying contend for the faith. And you said contentions of the devil, and yet Jude says to contend for the faith. So I'm asking you specifically, if you say contentions of the devil, you're saying it's satanic, why is Jude saying to contend for the faith?
Okay, I think you can look at things one way, or you can look at them in different ways. A specific scripture is not going to entail every single issue, and I think contention of contending for what is right and contending for God and those things, I think that is one thing. But to contend and fight and argue is a whole different thing, and I think you would agree with me.
Well, yeah, but I'm asking you a specific question. You're not answering it. I'm asking you, why would Jude...
I'm not sure. To be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly what Jude is intending to say there, if it has anything to do with arguing a point over a radio show or whether it means to stand for what's right.
I'm contending for the faith. You are...
Are you contending for the faith, or are you contending? In other words...
I'm contending for the faith. Jesus Christ, well, let's put it this way, God is not an exalted man from another planet, as Mormonism teaches. You are the one assaulting the Christian faith.
Let's not do a play on words.
What play on words?
Well, no, I'm just saying, contention and contending. I think you could easily put the wording on, or change the word to discuss. To pick a fight or to be contentious, you know, so it depends on how you're looking at it.
But you're being contentious right now.
Yes,
you are. I asked you a specific question about what Jude 3 says. You're going to say discuss. We have a word in Greek, dialegomai. That's for discussions and a little bit of debate. That's not used there. It's a different word altogether that is specifically the word contend. That's what it specifically means. It's epigonizomai. That's what's going on there. It's a different word. He specifically picked that word.
What's the background for the verse, for the chapter?
I could read you the first two verses.
Well, do you know what the background is?
Yeah, it's Jude, the brother of Jesus, writing. He's warning people. He's trying to get people to believe in the true faith, and because you read the whole epistle, and you realize what he's talking about. Be careful of the false teachers out there. He says, contend for the faith.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
And
I guess, let me back up. If I started the conversation over and said, okay, I won't use the word contend or contention. I will say, I don't want to fight. Or I don't want to pick a fight. That's not my intention here. And if that's your intention, then that's fine.
No, I don't want to pick a fight, but I want to expose Mormonism as a false teaching, because that's what it is.
Well, I mean, anybody could take, I could do what you do to the Mormon church. I could do it with Christianity. I could say that the Bible contradicts itself. I mean, not that I believe that, but I could easily read things and say that they do contradict themselves the way you do with the Book of Mormon, without a full discussion and possible looking at all the other options on the
well,
topic.
Well,
we're talking about the Trinity, and Mormons believe that, you know, there's three gods, and
do you believe
there's one God? Well,
do you
Genesis,
believe?
What does the Bible say? It says, yeah, go ahead.
Do you believe there's three gods?
I believe that God is one person and Jesus is another, and the Holy Ghost is another.
Is Jesus a God?
Absolutely.
So that's two gods. Is the
They're one in purpose.
I didn't.
They're one in purpose. What?
Wait, hold on.
Is
the Holy Ghost a God?
He's a part of the Godhead. Yes.
He's another God. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that's three gods you believe in, and then there's the Goddess Mother, and then there's the God who exalted Elohim to his position. So that's a fourth God.
I'm not trying to fight or argue, but I'm just trying to discuss for the sake of giving people who are listening another way of looking or understanding things, because I think too often we just look at it one way, and that's the way it is.
Well, let me ask you.
If you look at the Bible says, let us make man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's more than one person, if it's not more than one person, then who is speaking and who are they speaking to? And why would they say, let us make man in our own image, if it was just one person?
So you believe that it was the gods who made man?
Well, I'm asking you, what is that verse? How do you explain that verse?
It's very easy. Genesis 1:26 is talking about the plurality of God in the Trinity. The angels don't make, and no other gods exist, because the Bible says no other gods.
So he's speaking
to
himself.
Let me finish. He didn't say that. He said, let us make man. That's all he said. Wasn't saying he was speaking to himself. See, the Bible says this, Isaiah 44:24. Thus says Jehovah, your Redeemer and the one who formed you from the womb. I, Jehovah, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone. He's saying he's the only one who
didn't
create.
Doesn't say by myself and all alone.
I just read it. I'm looking at it. New American Standard Bible, Isaiah 44:24.
New American Standard was interpreted.
Okay. You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, okay.
But here's the King James.
Either way, I'm just saying, there's an example.
Lee, you're being contentious.
I'm just saying.
Lee, you're being contentious.
What I'm saying is I don't want to argue. I'm saying, but there's an example of that there is possible other scenarios. And I'll give you another one.
Wait a second. First of all, you're being contentious. Now, second, let me read out of the King James, which is what your church leaves. Says, I am the Jehovah that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. There you go.
We believe that Jehovah is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it that way.
Okay, yeah.
What do you do with the verses that say Jehovah is Elohim?
Well, let me just back up for a second real quick, because I was wanting to make a point.
Go ahead.
Because I'm not, like I said, I really am not wanting to argue. What I'm trying to do is show you how there are patterns and other ways people can look at this. And, of course, anyway, I'll get into that later. But you go look at who actually Christ prayed to. Who did he pray to? And when he was on the cross, who did he speak to?
The Father.
When he said, Father, forgive them.
The Father.
Or when he said, take this cup from me. Who is he asking to do that? And I'm not saying that I want you to argue it. I'm just saying that's an example of scriptures that people could easily say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. And the way that
sometimes
people like yourself look at Mormonism is you take things out of context.
I do.
And you'll take a scripture, and you'll take a scripture out of the Book of Mormon, and you'll say that the Book of Mormon says this, so it contradicts itself. Well, what I'm trying to say is I could easily do the same thing on many topics, even though I believe in the Bible. And so you've got to be careful. I think here's the thing. There's a pattern. There's a pattern that happens, that has happened throughout history, is that any time God reveals truth and brings prophets to earth throughout history, there's a pattern that people have rejected his servants and his word. They've killed their servants and his word. Who believes in the Old Testament? The Jews do. Well, why don't they believe in the New Testament? Because they rejected the words.
Okay, you're all over the place. All you're doing is talking about generalities. You're making these assertions.
I'm talking about generalities to avoid a specific conflict on things that are easily debatable, where you're not going to you're not going to come to any conclusions. But what I am trying to show
No. Hold on. You know, you believe in many gods, but the Bible says that, you know, besides, you know, God, there is no God.
Okay. I made my point on that. I wasn't trying to argue because I know that no one wins in an argument.
But wait a minute. Lee. If you say something and I quote you a scripture that contradicts what you believe, then all you do is ignore it to keep going. You see, the Bible tells us that there is no God besides the Lord.
Matt,
what do you do with that?
What I do with that is that there are interpretations to what that means.
Well, what does it mean? When God says that besides him there is no God.
Because he is the all. He is the one that ultimately is over everything, and that we are to worship.
So who do you worship as the only true God?
But it's only because and through Christ.
Wait a minute.
And I could take scriptures and break them down and tell you why I believe it says the way it does, even though you're painting it to be a picture of one specific thing. But what my point is that I didn't want to get on your show and argue a specific, get sucked into one thing, because I could easily do the exact opposite and say, well, you know, how does this, and put you on it and try to defend, you know, the Bible
you
on
asked
all these
me,
contradictions.
You asked me specifically about a verse, Genesis 1:26. I specifically answered it. I asked you about
did.
A, yes, I did. It's not.
I don't think you did to my. You know,
I addressed it, and then you say,
"But my answer is not your satisfaction either."
Lee, you don't want to look at the Word of God. You don't believe the Word of God.
Absolutely, I do.
No, you don't. Look, if you believe the Word of God, I'm going to read a verse to you, Isaiah 44:6.
Hold on a second.
Let's see if you believe the Word of God.
Hold on before you get there.
What? You have a problem with the Word of God?
No, I don't. But you're trying to go down a path of specific scriptures and specific points.
Yep.
And I'm happy to do that, but that's not what my intention was right now.
Well, your intention is to offer generality and confusion. And I don't.
No, it's not.
I often offer
not.
Specifics as an example. Here's an example. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith Jehovah. Now, folks, in Mormonism, God the Father is Elohim and Jesus is Jehovah. There's two separate gods. Now, this is what it says in Isaiah 44:6.
Right.
Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. Besides me there is no Elohim. What do you do with that?
I have a very good answer for that, but
really?
I am not.
Please,
I'm
give
not,
me that.
I'm willing. What's that?
Give me that very good answer.
I don't want to get sucked into this. That's what you're doing, is you're sucking me into it.
If you want to defend Mormonism, this is what it requires.
I'm not, you know what? What I'm trying to say, this is what I guess what I got into in the very first part of my phone call, is that you won't let me speak. You want me to go the direction you want to go, and I'm trying to give you some understanding of Mormons and Mormonism, if you're interested at all, hearing which.
Why don't you tell us what Mormonism?
Like you, it doesn't
tell
it
us
doesn't
what Mormonism
sound like
is.
You. It doesn't sound like you even are.
Tell us what Mormonism is.
Well, let me just say this, and if you're going to call it generality, but let go ahead and call it what you will. Throughout history, the world has rejected the Word of God, period. It's a pattern. That's why the Jews don't believe in the New Testament. They still adhere to the Old Testament. It's why Christians have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and are rejecting the Book of Mormon. It's why, you know, I heard you
Could
say
it
earlier
be because
that,
it's false?
Absolutely not. Of course, you know what? It's interesting is, doesn't it make you wonder, how is it possible that people could have been convinced to crucify Christ? How could it then possible? It's because they wouldn't hear the word. They would not hear the word of God. And so they gave
How do you
in.
Know the Book of Mormon's true?
How do I know?
Mm-hmm.
More examples, experiences, than I can imagine. I've read the Book of Mormon 15 times.
How do you know the Book of Mormon is true?
Because of specific experiences that I've had.
So you judge, just a feeling.
You judge truth more by experience. More than just a feeling.
You judge truth by experience. You judge truth
sorry?
By
experience. I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
You're judging truth by experience?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So aren't you?
You don't judge it by God's word.
Well, of course I do.
No, you said by experience.
Well, you said, how do I know?
Yeah, how do you know?
Well, how do you know the Bible's true? You can just say, well, because I've read his word. Well, I've read his word too. So if that's
the Bible's that's true because the Holy Spirit bears witness of the truth of the word of God. Jesus said in John 10:27-28, my sheep will hear my voice.
Well, it's, absolutely.
It agrees.
And that's one of the,
hold on, I'm not done.
That's one of the,
hold on.
That's one of the experiences.
Hold on, Lee.
Okay, go
plus,
ahead.
Plus, it agrees with history. There aren't any problems and contradictions in it like the Book of Mormon has. It's consistent.
That's a generalization.
Really? You think the Book of Mormon's great? You think it's perfect? Where are all the cities? Where's all the silk?
If you're interested, I'll show you.
Yeah. Really?
Absolutely.
You want to show? You want to go to the Aztecs and the Incas? Is that what you want to do?
No. Nope.
Yeah, all these great cities, all the metal, the horses that were here when the Book of Mormon says they were here, when we know they were not here.
When you say that we know, how do you say that?
Because science has told us, and we know, horses, they got here when the conquistadors
science?
Brought
are
them
you,
over.
Are you going back? You're going to science?
Yeah, we're going to history and the facts.
Science,
the horses were
science,
brought over.
Science tells us that the Red Sea camp part. I mean, you can't go back on science.
Look. The horses were brought by the conquistadors. Hey, man, look. The horses were brought by the conquistadors. They weren't here.
Okay.
They weren't here. Not when the Book of Mormon says they were here. They weren't here when the Book of Mormon says they were here. They weren't here.
That doesn't mean they weren't here.
Saying they weren't here doesn't mean they weren't here.
Okay. Well, just because something was there and later it wasn't there doesn't mean it wasn't there to begin with.
Okay. So you just leave the Book of Mormon. Now, I got a question. I'm going to read you something out of the Book of Mormon. Let's see how you do.
Okay.
All right? Yea,
okay.
Come unto Christ and be perfected in him and deny yourself of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. So, have you denied yourself of all ungodliness?
Well, isn't that what repentance is?
No, repentance means you're stopping doing what's wrong. If you've denied yourself of all ungodliness, then you shouldn't be repenting.
Well, that's what repentance is. You deny yourself of all ungodliness and you repent and turn to God fully.
Okay, so
There's another scripture that goes perfectly with that in the Book of Mormon. And it says, and I'm quoting it from memory, so I could be off here, but it says, come unto me. No, that's a different verse. Hang on.
You're not asking the question. You know, I want to get and discuss this verse.
I'm going off of memory here. So
and you're going off some other direction. It says,
It's the exact same. It's the exact
Lee,
same
man, you interrupt.
It references.
Lee, you're interrupting me, man, a lot.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient. Have you denied yourself of all ungodliness? Are you loving God with all your heart, mind, and strength? Are you?
Trying.
So you're not?
I may not be, but I'm trying.
Okay, so you're not. Then God's grace is not sufficient for you.
None of us are perfect, and none of us are going to be perfect.
I'm just reading out of your scriptures. It says this is a condition.
I think that's what it's saying. It says, you know what? In other words, we need to continue to strive.
Okay.
Right? We need to continue to strive.
So you're not denying yourself of all ungodliness because you keep repenting. That means you've still. I mean,
well, the Book of Mormon doesn't say,
buddy,
be perfect.
Buddy.
Be perfect right now. It's a process.
It says,
something that's to strive for.
It says, deny yourself of all ungodliness, and if, it's a condition, if this, then, okay, if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. So in order
for grace? How do you define grace?
In order for grace to be sufficient for you, you have to...
how do you define
grace?
Can
I finish?
Oh, sure. You did. You've read that three times. I'm asking how do you define grace?
You're getting close to being cut off. You complain that I don't let you talk. Okay, so he can't handle it. All right. This is ridiculous. This guy's still listening. That's fine. I'm going to invite him in. All he or any Mormon's got to do, you show up at the radio station with all your documentation, with everything. I won't even know you're coming. You show up at the radio station, unless I've got an interview scheduled with somebody else, I'll have you on the air. And we'll just talk for an hour. And you see how you do. We'll go to the Word of God. Let's just see. This guy's invited to come on down to the radio station on Monday. And let's see how he does. But here's the thing, folks. Look, Mormonism is teaching that God came from another planet, that there's a goddess wife. I read Moroni 10:32, and I was trying to get this guy to actually look at what it actually says instead of just jumping in and going some other direction. And the thing is this. When the Book of Mormon says, I'll get to the text, when the Book of Mormon says this, it says, come to Christ and be perfected in him and deny yourself of all ungodliness. What does it mean? It says deny yourself of all ungodliness. Now think about that, folks. If I'm talking to a Mormon, I say, do you deny yourself of all ungodliness? You're supposed to deny yourself of all ungodliness. Do you? The answer is yes, or the answer is no. It doesn't say some ungodliness. It says deny yourself of all ungodliness. I'd say, are you doing that? Are you denying yourself of all ungodliness? And they're going to say, well, I try. Or they're going to say, well, yeah, I do. I'm going to say, really? If they say they try, that means they're not denying themselves of all ungodliness. Because if you deny yourself of all ungodliness, you're not trying, you're denying, you're doing it. It doesn't say try to deny. It says deny yourself of all ungodliness. It's a command. Come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourself of all ungodliness. It's a command in the Book of Mormon. All. Now, what about those who say, well, I'm trying. If you're trying, it means you're not doing it. If they say they have denied themselves of all ungodliness, the next question is, do you repent? Because if you repent, it means you've not denied yourself of all ungodliness. If they say, no, I don't have to repent anymore because I have denied myself of ungodliness, then I'm going to be saying, so you don't sin anymore for the rest of your life, right? That's what it's saying. That's what you have to be saying. Because it says there, if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength. What's the condition here for the grace to be sufficient for you? What does it say? If you deny yourself of all ungodliness and, so you have to deny God, you have to deny yourself of all ungodliness and not only deny yourself of God, all ungodliness, you also have to love God with all your heart, all your might, mind, and strength. That's what's going on. Then is grace sufficient for you. Then is his grace sufficient for you. It's sufficient when you do the good work of denying, you stop doing bad things, and you do good stuff. This is what a lot of churches are teaching, incidentally, too. Christian churches are teaching a lot of this. They'll say you have to deny yourself of being bad in order to keep yourself right with God. You have to love God and don't do bad, and you can stay saved. Then God's grace is sufficient for you, and you'll be in a place of grace with him if you do these things. It's what Mormonism teaches. People don't get this in the churches. Anyway, so this is what's going on. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about grace. I'm going to go to Romans 11:6. Whoops. How come it did? Oh, I got it in the wrong place. Okay. Romans 11:6. And I'm going to read to you exactly what it is saying, because this is very important. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Now, notice what's going on. Works is not grace. Grace is not works. Look at this. But if it is by grace, it. This is what's talking. I'm going to get the verse ahead of it. In the same way, then there also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. A remnant of believers according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace that this choice occurs, this election, this work of God, it is no longer the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Grace is the unmerited favor. If it's based on anything that we do, then it's not grace. You see? If it's based on anything we do, then it's not grace. This is what is being taught by Paul in Romans 11:6. So what Mormonism is teaching is that the works of denying yourself of ungodliness and loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, all this, and what that is actually a reference to the two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor. But it's actually love God with all your might, mind and strength. That's actually a reference, because Joseph Smith had the Bible, to Deuteronomy 6:5. It's part of the law. What he's teaching is works righteousness, is salvation by keeping the law, by being good, standard of the law, denying yourself of all ungodliness. This is what Mormonism is teaching, folks. It's not a system of grace. It's a system of works. It leads to damnation. Go to Galatians 3:10, James 2:10, and you can see that. Scott in North Carolina, welcome to the show. What's up, buddy? What do you got? Hello? Scott?
Hey.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Mr. Matt Slick.
That's it. That's me. What do you got, man?
Hey, Mr. Matt Slick. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are. What's your question?
Hey. Well, I didn't have as much of a question. I just kind of wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry and what you do.
Okay.
I mean, I really do.
Okay.
And I know there's been a little bit of a row in the chat room between Diane and I over the theonomy issue. And I didn't want that to come between, you know, how much I appreciate you guys.
Okay, that's
I love
nice.
What you guys do, your ministry. I think you're a hilarious and a very apt defender of the Christian faith.
Okay, thank you.
So I hope you guys can, continue strong in the faith, despite our disagreements over the law.
Well, what's the disagreement?
Equity of,
what's your position?
Well, I am a theonomist in the line of Dr. Bonson, Rush Dooney.
Okay.
I'm sure you're familiar with the...
Yes.
With the...
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what we were arguing about.
Okay, so for those who don't know, theonomy comes from two Greek words, theos and nomos, God and law. The institution of God's law, Old Testament style, in present culture and rule, so that it's basically a Christian form of Sharia law.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it's Sharia law is actually a Muslim concept, an Islamic one, not a Christian one.
Well, it's the institution of law. I was a couple hours ago at a birthday party and talking with a guy, and I was talking about, yes, we should, as Christians, vote for the institution of biblical morality in the country. I do believe in to a degree of theonomy. We need to vote to have murderers executed. We need to vote to have
abortion. Hey, I hope you gave that guy a big birthday present, Matt Slick.
It was a cake, and he's a good guy and everything. But I said that, and abortion should be illegal, and there should be consequences for people who kill their babies. And
absolutely.
You know, I have no problem with that kind of stuff. But I have a problem with, for example, how much of the Old Testament law do you want to institute? How far do we take it?
Well,
that's where the difference is.
At the degree that we don't institute the Old Testament law, there's a degree that we have to institute some other sort of law.
What about keeping the Sabbath?
That's the rub.
What about keeping the Sabbath? Should we institute the death penalty for people who work on the Sabbath?
Whatever God's law teaches, that's what we ought to do.
Okay, so let me ask you, if someone works on the Sabbath, we have an institution of God's law, and they work on the Sabbath, should we kill them?
Well, it's like what the Christian writer Dante says, the deepest pit in hell is reserved for those who, when faced with great evil, do nothing, right?
Okay, let me ask you, should we kill those who work on the Sabbath?
It is my opinion that I need to conform my emotional whims to the law of God.
You're not answering the question.
So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely, a resounding yes to your
okay.
question.
If should God, we if stone? God's law teaches, should we stone disobedient children and kill them?
What do you? I mean, I'm not going to defend a naive understanding of Old Testament case law. I mean, whatever the Bible teaches, okay. I would suggest that we follow.
Okay. How about this one? How about this one? Should everybody be forced to worship Christ?
What do you mean by forced?
The Bible says, don't have any other God other than the true and living God. That's Exodus 20. And that you serve any other God, there was a punishment. A lot of times it was death.
I mean, do you want me to... Well, here I go, strolling in through the pearly gates, and I'm going to say, God, you know, I had some emotional problems with your law, so me and Mr. Slick decided not to run society according to your whim.
I'm asking you.
According to
so
ours.
We have Mormons in the society. Let's say that you become the grand poobah of the United States, and whatever you say goes, and you want to institute theonomic law. Should we then execute all the Mormons for worshiping a false god?
Well, there is no foobah of the... whatever you said in Old Testament case law that I know of. But if in that implausible scenario I was able to institute a theonomic institution in America, by that point in time, because we don't advocate any sort of revolutionary violence, I'm sure you're familiar with that. I mean, Rush Dooney or Bonson, nobody advocated grabbing up AK-47s and instituting this by the barrel of a gun. So by the time it's duly elected in by a Christian people, there's not going to be that many Mormons left in society.
Well, that I would,
or homosexuals,
I would agree
or,
with you. That's, you know, that's concomitant with postmillennialism. But, you know, this is the problem I have. I like...
Do you have a problem with God's law or with what I'm saying?
No, I have the problem with the people who would institute God's law. That's a problem.
Why?
I
mean, that's ludicrous to me. So if it's like when you hold up God's law to Christians today, they react to it like you're holding up a cross to a
vampire.
No.
I believe in the law of God. Okay, we got 1 minute. But I'm just saying, if a Mormon's going down the street and he's worshiping his false god under a theonomic system, are you advocating we take him aside and kill him?
Well, like I said, whatever the Old Testament law teaches, that's what I advocate.
Okay.
If the Old Testament law teaches that we execute Mormons, then I'm logically obligated.
Yeah.
My position logically obligates me to allow for that. But I think there's decent ways and humane ways to interpret God's law. I mean, I don't want to be held captive to whatever readings out there that people would like to foist on me.
Well, see, I'm just getting hit with you with the hard stuff right now, and then there's other issues of the New Covenant and the New Testament I'd ask you to do about that, you know, to talk about what was actually taught in the New Testament about certain things, and we're basically out of time. Sorry,
okay. Well, I love you guys. What I wanted to say is I love you guys. I love Diane, even though she doesn't like me. I love what you guys do. I want to give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room. You guys are all cool, except...
You're
SLP
listening.
Good. Too. He's not cool.
All right, man. Call back. It's a good topic. It's a good topic. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, God bless you guys, man. Hope Karm does really good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, but see, that is a very good conversation, and that's the kind of conversation we should have with some experts in here, because it really could become very interesting and relevant to how the Word of God is applied in society. Hey, folks, I'll be teaching a Bible study tonight in Nampa, Friday night here, August 5th. If you're interested, take the 84 freeway out to exit 36, go north 3/4 mile. Left-hand side is the Crossing Church at 7:30 p.m. tonight. God bless. Bye.
That's carm.org.